Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Skip Lacombe, and joined once again, as always, by our senior editor with FootballDiehards.com, Bob Harris. Bob, how you doing?
Fired up, Skip. I'm fired up. I'm telling you, you better be careful. It's nothing anyone said or did. Just fired up.
Fired up. I like that. I love the enthusiasm. You must be really excited about some of the news that broke last week.
Well, you know, it's one of the stories we're going to get to. We're just hearing Jay Cutler's house went up for sale, and I'm, you know, I got to say, we were going to touch on the ongoing drama, but, you know, watching him take it, you know, take another step, and I wonder at what point you decide that a petulant child isn't the guy you want running your team anyhow. But maybe Chris Sims, maybe, you know, it goes back to the draft as I sat there watching Jay Cutler with his mom sitting next to him, stuffing bonbons into his little pie hole, brushing the hair out of his eyes as he waited for it to be picked. And ever since then, I've kind of had this this image of him, and it hasn't been a good image, and I try to moderate it, and I try to lay off him because, you know, I don't want to let my perception of what I saw there color my reporting on him. But you know what? Everything
he just makes it too easy.
He continues to prove it. And, you know, we've seen it before, and we talk about it every week. At what point do grown-up people decide not to let their hurt feelings drive their professional life? And at what point doesn't a young man who's making millions of dollars in a business in which a game is played not realize the good fortune he has when so many around him maybe aren't enjoying the same good fortune? And the people who pay him, the fans, are maybe struggling a little bit, and they're having a hard time understanding what this entitled attitude is. Hey, kid, go out and do your job. Man up. Grow a set and do your job. If the coach yells at you, well, golly, that's kind of his job, Jay. So, yeah, I'm a little fired up today. I'm gonna back off Jay Cutler a little bit, but the thing is going to unfold a little bit more in the coming days. You know, Monday he is scheduled to show up, or he's expected to show up, for the off-season conditioning program. According to reports out of Denver, it's not clear if he's going to do that. I'd say based on the house going up for sale yesterday, probably he's not going to. He's going to force the issue. But what's he going to force? Is he going to force his way to Detroit? I mean, what does he really expect to gain out of this? And when we've learned, you know, they did have a telephone call between Josh McDaniels and Cutler, and, you know, the two sides have had issues. Cutler wasn't happy he was going to get traded, or there was, you know, talk of him being traded. And what he liked even less was when he got on the phone call that Josh McDaniels, his new head coach, had the temerity to do a little coaching and tell him what he expected of the kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found it a little bothersome that when a guy signs a paycheck, as owner Pat Bowlen does, tried to call you twice last week, Jay Cutler, you can't drop a dime and return the call.
Yeah, you definitely need to return that call for sure. And it seems like at this point, Jay is just getting too big for his britches again. I think that he thinks that he is bigger or more of an iconic player than he is right now. I mean, he doesn't have the years and the time in the league to really be playing the place that he really is right now. And, I mean, him and McDaniels are clearly not getting along very well. In that conference call they had last week, I mean, he reassured Jay that he is going to be the quarterback. He is going to be there next year. But, I mean, practically in the same breath, he said any Bronco player at any time can be traded. So kind of some mixed signals going on there. You can kind of understand why Jay is kind of taking taking some hurt feelings towards this, but he's certainly expounding on them and making them bigger than they really should be.
You know, if your feelings are hurt by your boss telling you what to do, maybe it's time to go back to the farm at Christmas and get on that tractor and dig up some dirt and, you know, remember what it's like to actually do something other than, you know, hey, play a game for a living. Yes, it is a business and a game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and emotions are part of it. But the hurt feelings in the business side of it just, I mean, they always lead to bad conclusions. And if Jay Cutler really thinks he's going to get sent to an ideal situation, you know, a better situation than Denver, maybe he just needs to stop and relax and think things through a little bit. I just see these emotions carrying over. I see the hurt feelings of, well, he said he might trade me. And then what I heard today, Mike Lombardi from the National Football Post, he was on NFL Network this afternoon, and what he heard about the phone call was that McDaniel started offering some coaching tips, basically, which Cutler took as criticism and just enraged him. And it was the kind of things like, hey, we expect you to, you know, play within yourself, not turn the ball over, you know, kind of basically be Tom Brady. And, you know, hey, if that's what you're going to, you know, your coach wants you to aspire to in the NFL today, that's a pretty good thing to aspire to. And if that's what he's going to demand of you, well, hey, he's got your best interest in mind.
Exactly.
So maybe you too, Jay Cutler, can marry a supermodel. and be on Entourage and have a good time. And, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I get a little fired up because I watch, you know, young men who are very privileged, and, hey, they've earned what they get. I'm not saying he hasn't earned his way, but, you know, sometimes you need to just step back and realize what you have and realize what's really being asked of you and check yourself.
Well, you know, I'll take it a step further. I'll say Jay Cutler hasn't earned his way. I don't think he's nearly earned his way to be the guy he's being right now. He hasn't been in the league long enough to be the drama queen he is. He doesn't have the records or hasn't had the years that really demands the type of drama that you're seeing from him. And, I mean, you take a look at kids these days who are playing Yaffle, and their big dream is to someday make it into the league. And, I mean, he's made it. He's there. He is the dream of millions of kids out there today right now, and he could be throwing it all away just because he had his feelings hurt because he may be traded to another National Football League team.
Be careful what you wish for, Jay Cutler. And, you know, I was being a little kind because I felt I was a little harsh early. But when you said that again, I'm with you. Let's tear him down.
So, I mean, that's just an ugly story, and that's just going to be getting uglier.
And everyone should watch for, you know, Monday is going to be a big day. And, you know, part of the deal is he's due $100,000 workout bonus if he's there for 90% of the workouts. He's been told he's expected to show up. And, you know, we've now got the other Broncos starting to chime in, Elvis Duvernay. Came in today, hey, they got to fix this. You know, so players are getting a little edgy about it. And, you know, at some point, maybe with a veteran like from Philadelphia, Dawkins, the safety coming in there, maybe that's, you know, give them a veteran presence that's kind of been through some controversy with quarterbacks in his time with the Eagles. Maybe that will help. He can help smooth things over. We just hope everyone comes to their senses. It just seems like, you know, we're in one of those situations where neither side really wants to step back or blink. And honestly, if Jay Cutler doesn't show up, he's basically sending a message that I'm bigger than the coach. And as Mike Lombardi said tonight, Jay Cutler needs to remember that he's there to make the coach happy. The coach is not there to make him happy. And that's how it works. That's how it works in any sport. And you know, except basketball. But that's a different sport.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure this Jay Cutler thing is only going to keep on going and keep on going over the next coming days and weeks, so I'm sure we're going to have plenty of time to get on that other. But the other big story of the week, it seemed like virtually minutes after we ended our last podcast, Terrell Owens has another team.
Did I guess Buffalo? I have to listen to that show. You know, it's a bit of a surprise. I mean, they were certainly a team that could use some help at that spot. Mm-hmm. Are they a team that's ideally suited to handle a Terrell Owens from, you know, starting from basically ground up? Let's say the geographic location, you know, is that really, you know, going to suit T.O. to a T? I'm not sure. Is Dick Duron a quiet and intense man, a very demanding coach? Is he going to suit Terrell Owens? Is Trent Edwards, a second-year starter, going to suit Terrell Owens? There's a lot of questions there. Is he going to get along with his teammates? Well, I mean, you know, the good news of all this is it's a one-year contract. It's hard to ruin something in a year, and there is every chance. There's reason to believe Terrell Owens will be on his best behavior because it is a one-year deal, and if he wants to continue making money, I mean, $6.5 million guaranteed, good deal. Good deal for him and gives him a chance to maybe rebound a little bit from a kind of off year. And if he can get along in the locker room and he can get along with the coaching staff, it should be an interesting run. The Bills certainly need help, needed another playmaker, a little someone to take the heat off Lee Evans. That was a problem for him all last year. Allows Josh Reed to move back into the slot, you know, something a place he's more capable of working. Frees up Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson, you know, for the running game. So, you know, I can see a lot of positives in this move if Terrell Eldorado Owens will allow it to be positive.
Well, yeah, like you said, Lee Evans, and the Bills actually came out pretty hot early in the year last year. Lee Evans was getting some good catches, but once people saw that Evans was going to be taking majority of the throws, I mean, it looked like he really got double teamed. So maybe spreading them out, having Evans and Mr. Owens out there will be able to help out their offense. Is it going to really be enough to get them to that extra step, that playoff caliber team that's going to maybe take them to a Super Bowl or a couple rounds deep in the playoffs?
I think that's hard to say because, you know, the way they kind of folded late last year, it makes for a dicey situation. Is that leadership? Maybe that's something Terrell Owens can provide the team, you know. So, you know, let's take the counterintuitive view here. A veteran going into a young team, maybe get, you know, he's a charismatic leader. Maybe he can get these guys to rally around and realize what it takes to win. He's been around a long time. You know, I tend to think that if we hit November and things aren't going well and it's getting really cold and enough passes aren't coming his way, it could get pretty darn ugly just as fast. But, you know, if you want to take the positive approach, he can clearly still help a team. He clearly makes it harder for defensive coordinators to game plan against you. But I still, you know, I try to think back to last year, and I remember a Monday night game, Trent Edwards struggling mightily, and I mean, it, you know, just one of those games where he's not getting it done, and you know, and that can have a long-lasting impact on the club, I would guess. You know, hey, Terrell Owens had a lot of passes thrown his way last year, 140, was targeted like 140 times, I think tied for, in the top 10 in the league, and he still wasn't enough. I mean, you know, So there you have it. It's going to be an interesting situation to watch. And if he can moderate himself and they can get him the ball a fair amount, he'll make some plays for him. They'll come out ahead and he'll be on his best behavior. And that's what they all need. And I'm trying to look at that team and in that locker room for people with the force of personality to deal with him. And I don't see it yet from Trent Edwards. But you know what? I haven't looked for it in Trent Edwards. Maybe this is what he needs to bring him out and make him into the player he can be. It's going to get your popcorn ready. Come on.
Absolutely. And this is just a one-year deal worth what, about $6 million, $6.5 million. So, and T.O. typically
all guaranteed.
Six and a half all guaranteed. And T.O. is typically a pretty good player in his first year before he has times to ruin his relationships with the rest of his clubhouse. So, I mean, it looks like they may at least have one successful year. But does Trent Edwards have the type of hard enough chin or skin or whatever you want to call it to be able to deal with someone like T.O. if things aren't going their way by week four?
You know, that's what I think. I think that's what we're going to have to find out. I mean, you know, listening to him talk about it, I kind of thought it was, you know, I found it interesting, the things he was saying and his approach. I mean, he was the guy who texted GM Russ Brandon the day they released, that Dallas released him, saying, what about T.O.? And so, you know, obviously he's on board with the move. We didn't hear much from Dick Geron until a little while after the deal was done, so that leaves you some questions. So, hey, I'm interested to see what Trent Edwards can do. He's played well at times last season. He had a good completion percentage, 65%. He had an 85% passer rating. It was 17th in the league, so kind of middle of the pack there. It just, you know, it's going to make the offense better if Terrell Owens can play at a reasonably strong level, and I think he can. So I'm not ready to just to dismiss the whole idea out of hand and think, oh, this is a disaster in the making. I believe it might be, but I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to predict that just out of hand just because he shows up there. I'm going to give it a chance.
And from the reading too much into a story category, too, he will be wearing his old number 81, which was worn by James Hardy last year. Do you think that's going to have any sort of indication? I mean, the team going to James, I mean, he hadn't been wearing it nearly as long as T.O. has, and maybe that's just part of the game. But do you think that there may be any play there as far as them taking 81 away from Hardy, or there may be hurt feelings about that? I mean, it is just a number, but something that can be important to a player.
Yeah, if there are hurt feelings, it's just James Hardy, and I think everyone will survive that. You know, he's coming off a torn ACL. You know, he still has a lot to prove himself. Maybe he can learn something from T.O. I did think it was interesting when T.O. was on the radio and they kind of asked him if he'd worked out a deal with Hardy to get the jersey. Kind of said, that's not my job. That's, you know, and if the history is, you know, the deals are worked out on the side, and Terrell Owens kind of made it clear that, well, that's between him and the team. I just got 81. That's all I know. So that's the name of that tune. Hardy better not be a Cutler-esque kind of fellow when it comes to the hurt feelings.
Yeah, we can certainly hope. And of course, the story is only going to be gaining some more momentum as we get further into the or closer to the start of the season. So T.O. is a Bill. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, just a few rules I liked from the former Star Telegram writer Jennifer Floyd Engel has had some really good stuff on T.O. throughout his tenure in Dallas. And she offered kind of an owner's manual this week on how to best survive in T.O. world. And some of the pertinent entries: do not criticize him. The only exception is there is no exception. This includes but is not limited to when he drops passes, floats on routes, has to be separated from teammates, divides your locker room, and or embarrasses your franchise.
Yeah.
Halt the private meetings between Evans and Edwards now before T.O. discovers they have secretly been drawing up the play for a playbook that does not feature him. And find the snitches. Because you don't have a snitch problem now, but you will when T.O.'s there.
Absolutely.
And under no circumstances is it ever T.O.'s fault.
It's a lot funny how a lot of people are going to snitch more when there's a big player and a lot of media calling all your players 17 times a day.
There you have it. We'll just hope ESPN doesn't transfer Ed Werder to Buffalo.
Oh, goodness, yeah. All right, San Diego Chargers fans are breathing a sigh of relief, too, as they've inked another deal with Danian Thomas and restructuring their deal. He'll be entering his ninth season in the NFL next year as a Charger. Good thing for San Diego, right?
You know, it is a good thing. I think, you know, we've talked about this in the past, and I'm not one that, you know, I'm not looking for an ascendant. He's not an ascendant player. He's a player on the decline. But does that mean he cannot contribute and be a solid producer for the Chargers and for fantasy owners this year? He absolutely can. And if he's healthy, maybe a little better than expected. You know, that, you know, injuries have been the big issue the last few years, and he needs to, you know, he needs to give some sign that he can, he's not wearing down and he can avoid those kind of nicks and bumps and bruises and hey, more serious injuries that have obviously been the issue the last 2 years. And if he can do that, you know, and maybe working with Darren Sproles, maybe lightening his LT's workload a little bit, that will help him even play better, you know, in limiting his role a little bit, you know, a little addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
We've seen it happen before. And we've got to remember, the Chargers, we've seen the Chargers, or we saw the Chargers last year start to evolve more into Phillip Rivers' team anyhow. And I think we'll see that continue, that evolution, with maybe a little stronger passing attack, maybe a little more Rivers, a little less LT, and I think for the Chargers that's a good thing. And I think for LT it could be a good thing too, even for fantasy owners, because you're going to be able to get this guy at a value pick. He's not going to be your number one, number two, number three, maybe not even a top five pick this coming year in most fantasy drafts. So that's going to create some opportunities, and I am glad he's back. I would have hated to see him go to some other places. He was on the Dan Patrick show, talked about possibility New Orleans, talked about the Ravens being a natural fit with Cam Cameron, and he mentioned the Denver Broncos, and my personal belief all along was if he didn't re-sign with the Chargers, he was landing in the AFC West, whether he had to pay them. Because I just think there was going to be a – I think, you know, there's – you know, I've talked to Tomlinson more than once, and it's he's a very proud person and has a great understanding of his standing in the game and the history of the game. And, you know, he takes it very seriously. And I think, you know, to be forced to take a pay cut, and had he been forced really to make a significant amount less than Sproles, I mean, he did have to take the cut either way. But, I you know, all those things are going to play on him and maybe even motivate him a little bit. But certainly they would have motivated him had it not worked out in his favor.
Yeah, LT is a proud player, but, I mean, clearly, too, he's got to take a look at, and, I mean, it's got to be hard to be falling from grace coming from league MVP 2 years ago and slowly starting to decline, been injury-plagued over the past couple of years. But, I mean, even LT has to realize that at some day he's still not going to be making $15 million a year. So I think that's really interesting, too, how he finally was able to suck it up, humble himself a little bit, and just get the deal done. What's interesting about the Chargers is, well, they may not really have any huge fantasy prospects for next year. They've got a whole heck of a lot of people who are pretty good between Phillip Rivers, Chris Chambers, Antonio Gates, Darren Sproles. I mean, yeah, their offense next year should be dynamite with Sean Merriman coming back on defense. They could really be one step away from the big game.
Yeah, I agree. If you get back, I'm looking at guys, too, like Antonio Gates and Vincent Jackson. Vincent Jackson, player on the rise to me, guy who started making some of the plays that we've expected the last couple of years. You know, given his physical nature, he's a very big receiver, has good speed. I do like what they're doing with that team. And again, they began that evolution to Phillip Rivers' team, you know, in advance of last, you know, as last year started, and more out of necessity as the year progressed. But, you know, if LT can go in there, understand his role, be satisfied with his role. I mean, there was some friction last year at points during the season. You know, obviously LT was not happy, for one, when some of his injury issues were diminished in the media. You know, but that's what teams do. And, I mean, again, it goes to the hurt feelings thing. I mean, you've got to just realize that, you know, not everything can come out. Not everyone can tell you the whole story all the time. Certainly we'd all like to hear it, but realistically we're not going to get it. And if that makes, you know, if that diminishes you somehow, I mean, it's a matter of personal, you know, you've got to be secure in what you are. And I think one of the problems for a running back who hits 30 years old, I mean, you know, and I've talked about this before, but I mean, how fast the wheels tend to fall off once they start, and you start looking, you know, at the Sean Alexanders and Priest Holmes, and the list goes on and on, of guys, they just hit a certain point, and boy, it's like, you know, being an NFL running back is like being, you know, being in the demolition derby, except you're the car, and it's every week for 16 weeks of the year. It takes a toll. And I'm sure he realizes that as well as anybody, but it's just hard to get – it's hard for a proud person or any person to get their mind around the fact that they just aren't what they were. Heck, I have to deal with that every single day.
Absolutely. Well, too, hopefully, too, with spreading out some of the carries between Sproles, we may be able to extend LT's life a little bit.
I think so.
All right. The Cards appear to be shopping Anquan Boldin. He's probably not too happy about that.
You know, I think maybe he is okay with it. I mean, I think that's ultimately he'd like to move on because realistically for him to believe he's going to get the kind of money that he wants to get, you know, it's just going to be hard for the Cardinals to have, you know, a third of their cap devoted to three players, Warner, Fitzgerald, and Boldin. And
yeah, but Boldin leaving, I mean, Kurt Warner was pretty closely tied into his deal encompassed upon making sure Boldin's going to be able to be there next year. Do you think that might have some create some waves?
No, you know, I think Kurt Warner's been around enough to understand that, you know, I don't think the feelings will get hurt there. He's got his money. He's good to go. He would like Boldin to stay there, but I think everyone there needs to realize the reason that you know, the whole dynamic, the reason they're able to make this money, the reason they've been productive, you know, it's not just the individual guy. It's the unit. It's the group of players that are there. Boldin makes Fitzgerald better. Fitzgerald makes Boldin better. Warner makes both of them better, and they make him better. And, you know, how often have we seen a big-name free agent go somewhere else and fizzle? Because they kind of break up that dynamic. And I mean, do they get their money? Yeah. If they get paid, I mean, you know, if that's really all you're after, that's fine. But if you're looking to compete at a high level and you're on a team and the team is being successful, maybe maybe that $9 million is okay and you don't have to have that 15, you know. This year, maybe you will put it off. But, hey, again, I understand it's a business. I understand you've got to get what you want. The teams don't have a lot of loyalty. The Cardinals are again, denying that they're shopping him while multiple reports suggest they are. Peter King from Sports Illustrated predicted, I think, on Tuesday that Boldin would either be a Giant or an Eagle by July. I think it's, you know, I think it's a reasonable idea that they end up moving him. You know, his unhappiness with the team seems to be diminishing, or at least he's been able to quiet it down and pull in a little bit, rein in on his comments. But, you know, I really find it hard to believe that they're going to be able to put enough money, put enough of a percentage of their cap into three players to keep all three and keep them happy.
Where do you see Anquan go next year?
Hey, I think, you know, there's a number of teams out there looking right now. I think the Giants and Eagles do make sense. The Titans make sense. You know, don't be surprised if Dallas gets in the mix in anything involving a big-name player. They've expressed interest in him before. I think he will be very popular. The Vikings were looking for receivers. The Jaguars have a need. I mean, there's a lot of teams with need, and it's just a matter of if they want to come up with the price. Boldin's a good character guy. His complaints about the situation notwithstanding, he's proven time and time again he'll put the team ahead of himself during the season at least. So I think there'll be a lot of teams looking at him.
And that's something kind of rare and refreshing to see in the NFL is a player who's out there and is really going to put the team first. I mean, of course, he definitely wants to get his payday. He wants to go ahead and get taken care of. But, I mean, above all else, it really seems that he wants whatever franchise he's with to be successful.
Hey, he's proven that by getting out on the field when a lot of people would not have get out on the field. You see a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of tough receivers in this league. You know, we've seen guys like Lavernius Coles, who until recently played through just about anything. But, you know, until we saw Anquan Boldin return from last year, that hit against the Jets, and the facial surgery, the, you know, screwing the entire upper jawbone back into place with 40 screws, and then weeks later he's back on the field. That's amazing. And, it, you know, it shows what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, definitely nice and very refreshing to see. You are listening to the FootballDiehards.com podcast. Got a couple more minutes with Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDiehards.com. Rams seem to be making some moves, too. It looks like both Pace and Holt were released. That frees up about $14 million in cap room for him next year. Is this out of necessity, or are they trying to free up some cash looking ahead to the draft?
You know, I think it's out of necessity and out of, you know, I mean, yes, they're looking to free up some cash. I think they're going to be hard-pressed to replace the Torrey Holt, you know, certainly with what's available now. And they've got some young receivers, Donnie Avery. You know, I think they're trying to get younger and they're trying to take a new direction. Do I think releasing Torrey Holt is the best move that they'll make this year? No, absolutely not. I think unless you have someone ready to come in, maybe if they'd done it earlier in the year when they could have competed for a bigger name free agent, a younger guy, and maybe they have a plan we don't know about. But as things stand right now, I don't think it was a wise move.
Yeah, the smart money would say that they probably have some sort of a plan. And, I mean, some people were kind of shaking their heads and scratching their heads a couple weeks ago when both Brooks and Dunn were released from Tampa Bay. And it turns out that they had a little bit of a plan there with some other things moving on. But only time will tell with St. Louis. And, I mean, they were atrocious this last year. So any changes they're making are probably going to be seen at as at least movement towards a direction.
Yeah, and look for Holt to be, you know, he'll be pretty popular. He's had some issues with the knees, and he's coming off a down year. But, again, you look at the usual cast of teams looking at, you got Jets, Titans, Jaguars, Ravens, Giants, Eagles, 49ers, you know, go back and play opposite Isaac Bruce for another year. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
So there's going to be plenty of opportunity, and I'm pretty sure he'll get a job in short order.
All right, and looks like our good friend Plaxico is in a little bit of trouble again, too. Not just one time, not two times, not three times, but got four tickets last week. What's going on with him?
You know, it's kind of interesting to see his issues obeying even, you know, even the
even the more simple of the laws.
Yeah, you know, when we go back all the way to you know, when he couldn't be show up on time for anything, suspension for tardiness, didn't like to show up for off season workouts, and you know, it goes off the field, and it gets a little bit worse. And he shoots himself in the leg and a bar, and then he's, you know, he's facing some jail time. And I think Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio had the best line: is if Plaxico has troubles following these rules, he's going to have a hard time holding down his cafeteria job at the prison next year.
Oh yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting. Yeah, I believe the four tickets the four fines he received tickets for were speeding, improper lane change, his windows were tinted too darkly, and he had some sort of an issue with his tag. So he just apparently can't get anything right these days.
Yeah, you got to admire that. You know, it takes a lot of effort to be that much of a scofflaw.
Yeah, absolutely. Another interesting story coming out this week is the Travis Henry story. Apparently, he's broke. And when you have nine kids, all fathered or mothered from nine different ladies, yeah, well, that's going to be pretty expensive. It looks like his...
This just didn't skip, according to ESPN's Outside the Lines. He recently became the father of twin girls, bringing a total to 11 children with 10 different women.
You're kidding me.
Boy.
Wow. Well, I mean, as of my most previous calculations, his child support was somewhere in the area of $170,000. And the New York Times put out a piece, almost like a cautionary tale for maybe some younger NFL kids to take a look at and really see how you need to go ahead and keep your nose clean, need to be careful, or things can get out of control pretty quickly.
You know, they obviously did for him. You know, when he came out in the draft...
Nine nights of fun ended up costing him a lot of money.
Well, you know, if you go back, I mean, if you remember when he first showed up in Buffalo, one of the first things he did was get arrested for some activities with some underage girls who he apparently picked up at a gas station, and they said they was old enough, you know.
He likes the ladies.
Hey, you know, don't we all? But some of us, you know, we also like a stop at the drugstore on occasion. You know, it's not a big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, the big key here is that, I mean, Travis Henry coming out was a young kid making mistakes. And I don't know, I kind of like the Times putting out a piece like this, almost a cautionary tale, saying, hey, just be careful. I mean, yeah, you guys are the top of your game, but you guys are not invincible. I mean, bad stuff can still happen, or not necessarily bad stuff, but you can get yourself into some trouble pretty easily.
Consequences for your actions almost every time. Often, not good consequences. And I did like one of his quotes, I did use protection at first, he said.
At
they'd
first.
They'd be saying they'd be on the pill, and I was an idiot to trust them. Second or third time with them, I didn't use it, then boom! You know, that's pretty good apt description. And, you know, I can go back and having talked to various people, you know, Travis, nobody would ever accuse Travis of being the sharpest knife in the drawer, but, you know, sometimes... Yeah, just you have to put the thinking cap on, and sometimes the other cap on.
Or the other cap. That's where I was gonna go. Well, see, it's just kind of sad too. I mean, you would think that a player or a person who makes the kind of money he has, is in the public eye, would be a little more careful, realizing that you're gonna be more of a target for people to want to take advantage of you.
You know, and I think that's one of the big things that, you know, a lot of players wise up too early. Some of them, unfortunately, you know, they have to have a few bad experiences to get there. For Travis, it's a few more than most.
Absolutely. And finally, the final story I want to touch on, McFadden just recently got out of his shoulder surgery. It was his shoulder, correct?
Yeah, had off-season shoulder surgery, kind of something that we didn't hear about until after the fact. We knew he had the turf toe problems.
Uh-huh.
Apparently the shoulder happened early in the year. But he said, came out this week, was talking about it, said he's fully healthy. It's going to be an interesting thing to see in Oakland how they work out that running back thing. You got Justin Fargus there. You got Michael Bush. All three pretty capable runners. But if you can get Darren McFadden back and healthy, you know, he showed the signs of explosiveness we needed to see last year. Just didn't do it on a consistent enough basis due to the injuries. I think a healthy McFadden could be a surprise player this year.
Yeah, the Raiders appear to have so many different little pieces of the puzzle missing and seem to be so far away from the greatness that they were at one point. What are some of the moves that they're going to be able to make in this offseason to go ahead and make an impact on next year?
You know, I think the biggest move they already made, they kept a little consistency with the coaching staff. And, whether it's a great staff or not a great staff, whatever you think of Tom Cable, I happen to kind of like his approach. I'm not sure about his coaching skills. But just to have some consistency there from one year to the next, I think is going to be a huge thing for them. And consistency that Al Davis isn't going to be trying to tear down from inside, I think that's the other big issue. So on-the-field moves, you know, they've still got a ways to go. Need to get that offensive line working. Need to get Jamarcus Russell to start showing some of his potential and to start earning some of his money. Need help at wide receiver. But they do have some young guys they like, and they kept Javon Walker. Ronald Curry will be gone. But I think the coaching staff is going to be key. If they can get a little continuity and get a little faith from the players, get a little trust from the players, they'll be doing good.
Bob Harris is the senior editor with FootballDiehards.com. Bob, thanks again for joining me. You can check out the website, www.footballdiehards.com. It's updated all the time. Anything else, Bob?
That's it for today.
Right on. Well, we'll see you next week. Until then, it's the FootballDiehards.com podcast.